Pastor Janet was speaking. It was really touched me and it really hit me. And she was talking about the year of Jubilee and how this is just such an awesome year. You see, this is a year of Jubilee, guys. This is a great year. This is an awesome year. This is a year, she said, it comes every 50, where all of the lands are turned back to their original owner, where all debts are canceled, where all slavery is turned over and released. This is a great year for the church. Because in the past, there'd be so much stuff that held us down. And there were so many things that would interfere with our relationship. My past and my hurt and my pain. I was a slave to all these different things. Well, it is a great year, for it is the year of Jubilee, and all debts are canceled. Amen. You see, she talked about how this was such a great time because slavery ended and the land was turned back over to the rightful owner. But she didn't say it was us, and I thought that was very interesting. She didn't say the land is turned back over to you. She said the land is turned back over to God. You see, we're still a slave. There's no difference from back then. We're just not a slave to sin anymore. All of a sudden, God owns the whole land. All of a sudden, the land of our hearts is taken over completely by God. I thought, wow, all the struggle is over. Wow, all the things of the past are over. All the times where we had to fight and we had to go for it and we had to push and push and push. Why was it like that? Because multiple things had a call on the land. They had ownership over the land. But today, this year, the year of Jubilee, no longer do all of those things have a hold, but God has a hold. No longer does my sin have a hold, but I am held in the palm of God's hand. When you think about God being the owner, literally the landowner, the landlord, I was thinking about that, and I said, what does that make me, God? It makes me a tenant, right? If God's the landowner, and he's the landowner over my heart, then I'm just a tenant. And she was speaking about your hearts, but I'm going to go even further and say the land is your hearts, it's your bodies, it's your life, it's your relationships, it's your family, it's your children, it's everything in your life. You see, all things are owned by God. And Pastor Jerry was talking about Psalms 24, and it says that everything in the world is the Lord's. Everything on earth is God's, and he owns every single thing. That means my heart, that means my wife, that means my relationships, that means everything is owned by God. And what am I doing? I'm pretty much just renting it. I'm just a tenant for a time that holds it, because there will be a day where God will call what is due to him and he'll call it back to himself and say, tenant, how have you handled the things that I have given you? I'm going to be reading from Matthew 21, called the parable of the tenants, or the parable of the wicked tenants. And we have to look at ourselves and say, what kind of tenants are we going to be? How are we going to handle the things that God has given us? How are we going to hold and deal and manage with the blessings and the fruit that God has given us? They're not ours, and we cannot claim ownership over it. It's time for all the things of the past to end, to say it's mine to do with as I like. It's mine. I have a right to all these things. Let's just say it today that all rights are over. This is the year of Jubilee. All things have been turned over to God. That means our rights are over. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 21, verse 33. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him, they threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus replied to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become this cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. He was speaking in the temple courts, and there were Jewish leaders were right there listening to them. And it says a little bit later that they realized that Jesus was talking about them. And he even predicts his own death in this verse. And the Jews are listening to all this and they're getting angry and they want to arrest him and they want to throw him out. And they're saying, you have no right to say this to me. He's talking about the Israelites and the Gentiles. He's saying that the vineyard was given to the Israelites. The inheritance was given to them. But they did not treat the prophets right. It says that he sent the prophets. He sent his servants to them and told them, saying, there will be a time when God is going to come to collect what is his. And they beat them, and they killed them. And if you look throughout the Bible of John the Baptist and Stephen and even Jesus Christ, every time a servant was sent, they beat him and threw him out and even killed him. The Jews would know what he was talking about. It was a very common practice. If a landowner had some land and had to go back to his home country, he would rent out the land. He would be a landowner and get tenants, and he could require up to half the harvest, up to half of the fruit. You can say, it passed over them and now it's ours. But we can't take ownership over it like they did. They took ownership and said, God, you have no right to tell me. You have no right to say what is yours and what I have to give you. It's mine. And because of that, it was passed over and given to us. Let us not make the same mistake today. Let us not make the same mistake and say, this inheritance is mine. This house is mine. This wife is mine. This money is mine. Whatever it is, all things belong to God. Amen. So we have to look and say, this parable is still prevalent today. And we have to be sober-minded and know that there is a God in heaven whom all good things come from. They are not ours. They are God's, and they come down from heaven. So let's look at this verse and see really what God requires from us today. Number one, we have to realize that he owns the land. God owns the land. Ask anybody maybe a little bit older, what will they say about this generation? That this is the generation of entitlement. Everybody thinks they're owed everything. There's so much entitlement in this world that everything is owed to them. Everything should be theirs. Everything should be handed to them. And as great as this country is, and as great as some of the programs we have are, at like welfare and unemployment, as great as that makes us, it has bred a generation of entitlement that says, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. And I'm calling out today and saying, it's God's. It's God's. It's God's. Amen. We have to turn that type of thinking and saying it's not entitled. We are entitled to nothing. This inheritance isn't ours. It was the Jews. This house isn't mine. This wife isn't mine. All good things come from God. The Lord, everything in this world belongs to God, Psalms 24 says. We have no entitlement to anything. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard of landlord-tenant disputes. In my job, I have to deal with that a lot. You'll get the bad tenants, wicked tenants. And for a landlord, there's nothing worse than getting bad tenants in your house. I had a family member who rented out their house, and they did all the right things. They got a background check. They got a security deposit. And what happened after the first few months? They stopped paying. And then you have to go through an eviction process. And then you have to wait months and months and months. And by the time they got back into the house, there was holes kicked in the wall. And there was roaches. And there was everything was destroyed. And there was cabinets ripped off the wall. And I said, wow, what a generation of entitlement. How could they live inside that house and say, well, it's mine. I can do with it as I like. That's the kind of generation we have that looks at God and says, God, you can't tell me. You can't tell me what I do with my wife. This is my house. You can't tell me how I live my life. You can't tell me what I do on Sunday. This is my life. And I'm saying, God, these people don't see that all things come from you. They don't see that you hold time in your hands, and Sunday and Saturday and Monday through Friday, they all belong to you, God, but you require just that Sunday to come into your house. I look and see that all money and everything good inside of my life, every blessing and every fruit that I have in my life does not come from me, but comes from God on high. That mentality of entitlement, it's the same since the beginning. If you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, whose garden was that? It was God's garden, right? And they walked around Eden. God said to them, you can touch any tree in here, but this is my garden, and my one rule is don't go and eat of that one tree. And then what does Satan say when he comes to him? Satan says, if you eat of that fruit, God knows you'll become just like him. Just like him. You see, Adam and Eve, they weren't happy being tenants in the garden. They weren't happy being tenants in God's land. They said, no, I have a right to this land. I'm walking in this land. And God knows that if I eat of that fruit, I'll become just like him. I'll become the guy in charge. I'll become the owner. And I can do with this land what I like. You see, Adam and Eve, they turned away from God. They weren't happy just being tenants. They wanted to be the owner. And we see it today. We see the same sin today that was so many years ago, where men and women say, it's my life. God, you created me in the womb. Maybe you picked me up from the dust. Maybe you breathed life onto me, but it doesn't matter if you made me, God. I am my own. I can do with what I want. And we see people that walk their lives that say, no, God. No, God, it's me. I got this. And it is the same sin that they had then, and it is the same sin today. I'll tell you, church, we need to get rid of that mindset. We need to come out of that mindset. We need to be a people who are sober-minded, who walk every single day saying, God, this ground is yours. Wherever I walk is yours. This relationship is yours. This talent is yours. Whatever I have, God, whatever good thing is in my life, it comes from you. And if you read Romans 11, it says the Jews were broken off the tree because of unbelief, but you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. There's gospel messages out there that says all you have to say is a prayer and you're saved forever. All you have to say is a prayer and then you don't have to worry about it the rest of your life. Do what you want because you're safe. And I'll tell you, that's a dangerous prayer. You see, the gospel message that we should be preaching is exactly this. That we do not own the ground, that we were created from the dust, that everything we have is from above, that the very ground we walk on was created by God's voice. And when we walk and we go about our day to not consider the landowner, to be those tenants, well, it says, well, I can kick a hole in the wall. I can leave everything around. I can make it a mess. It doesn't matter because it's mine and it does not belong to God. You see, our gospel message should say, just like the prophets, there will be a time when God will come and collect what is due to him. There will be a time where he will come and say, I have entrusted you with so many blessings. You have children, you have clothes, you have food, you have a roof over your head. I have given so many blessings. How have you used that land to give back to me? How have you tended that land and give back to me? We have to look and say that Jesus Christ, he is the son in that parable. He is the one that is coming and speaking to us. And God says, surely they will respect my son. Surely when they walk in on Sunday and hear his voice, they will not ignore it. Surely when God comes and speaks to them and gives them blessing after blessing, they will turn to me and say, God, I recognize you. God, I see it. It's not mine. I cannot do it. God, I know this came from you. Thank you, Lord, and I will spend my entire life giving it back and honoring you. That's the gospel message. Jesus Christ came. God sent his son down to remind the people that God owns all things and that one day it'll all turn back to the Father. We have to live in that grace. We have to live in that understanding, knowing that God owns all the land, knowing that the land is not released back to us, but we are slaves unto the Most High God. We are ones that choose to come underneath him, that says, not like Adam and Eve, but say, God, you are the owner. You are the Most High. God, I don't want to be in control. I'm going to follow underneath you, Lord, for you are the owner and I am the tenant. And in this time, this says this life is but a mist. Here 1 second and gone the next. But God, I will spend every minute giving back to you for what you have given to me, for you are the owner of all things. Amen. So when we see that God owns the land, then we can look at ourselves and say, all right, if you own the land, God, then I just rent the land. First renters, they did not produce the crop. They did not give what God required from them. And because of that, it was passed over. And it was given unto us. But we can't grab onto it. We have to live our life saying, God, I realize that I am a renter. I realize that I have no right to this land. I have no right to my family. I have no right to my home. I have no right to all the blessings that you have stored up in my heart, God. I have no right to it. And when you have that mindset, it takes away the mentality of entitlement. Because you say, I have no right, yet every good and perfect thing comes from you. Every fruit that is in this crop, it belongs to you, God. You can't take what God has given and keep it for ourselves and say, God, it's all mine. That crop, God can require so much. He can require up to half. You see, we should have hearts that say, God, it's all yours anyway. It's all yours anyway, God. I don't have a right to it. Every single thing that I have, it is in your hands. So we have to look at our lives and say, what do we grab onto? What do we hold onto and not give God his portion? Which things in our life do we say that I'm the owner of and not the renter of? I was thinking maybe unused talents. And I'm not talking about just tangible things. Everything good comes from above. The things that you have in your life that I'm not good at and my wife's not good at, that you are because God has blessed you with it. Do we take those things and say they only benefit me? I'm going to use my talents and I'm going to excel myself in the world and I'm going to make a bunch of money and I'm going to do all these different things with these talents that God has given me? Or are we going to take and say, God, this is not mine. You give and take away, Lord. God, I will lay it at your feet. How can I use this talent to advance your kingdom, to push the walls forward? What have you blessed me with that no one else has that I can push forward the kingdom of God? Or how about our spouses? Our spouses, every good and perfect thing comes from above. You know, I look at my wife and I remember on our wedding day, and as Pastor Jerry walked her down the aisle, I remember a point, right, where he took her hand and he put it into my hand. What he was doing, he wasn't saying, this is mine, I'm giving it to you. No, he was saying, God has entrusted me with this child. God has given this to me. There has been a time where she was with me. There has been a time where I had guard over her, but now I'm passing it over to you. For God has called a time that a woman and a man shall leave their house and come into union with another. And now I look at her and I say, God, she's not mine. I can't claim responsibility over her. And there will be a time where you will come back and say, how have you dealt with what I have given you? How have you uplifted her? How have you blessed her? How have you moved her more and more into Christ? How have you lifted her above yourself? Chris, how have you taken the blessing that I have given you? How did you tend to it? You see, my spouse, that's from God. And I have to live that every single day, knowing that I don't own it, but I only rent. Or how about my worship? So many times we see that the music is going and we don't want to bend a knee down to God. We don't want to move. We don't want to dance. And we're so rigid and locked up. Why is that? Because we say, well, I'm me and I have a right over me. And I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to lose dignity. I have a right to stay still. As I was praying about this, God was saying to me, fool, don't you realize that I give and take away, that I have lowered down nations to the ground and raised them up to the heavens. I have done miracles upon miracles. And how can we hold on to just our pride? How can we hold on to our dignity and say, God, it's mine? When we look at David dancing before God, why did he do that? It wasn't because he was saying, all right, God, I'm going to sacrifice for you. No, he was saying, God, you own all things. You own my body. You own my life. You own who I am as a person. I will not hold anything from you, God, but I will lay it at your feet. So what are we coveting? What are we holding on to? We need to give God what is due to God. We need to realize that we are tenants in our bodies, in this country, in our jobs, in all things. We are just renting the land. We have to look at our freedom, our children, our time, all of those things that we say, God, it's mine, and start saying, God, it's not mine. It's yours, Lord. What are you requiring from this? How much do you want me to have? Do you want me to have 2%, 1%, 50%? Lord, how much this day is my time? How much freedom do I have today, God? For you own all things and you hold time in your hands. Do you want me praying today? Do you want me worshiping today? Do you want me uplifting the church today? Or, Lord, is it okay to go to ShopRite? You know, there should be something inside of our hearts that says, God, you own all things. And we look at the Acts church. What does it say in the Acts? They took all of their possessions and they sold it and they laid them at the disciples' feet. These men, they just gave up all of their stuff. They gave it and they sold and they laid it at the church's feet. But as God was speaking to me about this, he was saying, no. You see, they weren't just saying, it's mine, I'm giving it to you. They were saying, God, you own it all. God, you own it all. God, all things, this crop, this land, this house, it belongs to you already. So what is it a big deal if I take it, sell it? It's yours here or it's yours there. And they gave to God willingly because they had the mindset of a renter. They had a mindset of a tenant. They had a mindset that nothing belonged to them. And you look at, right, Ananias and Sapphira. What was that sin that was so bad that it even caused death? And they came and they lied to Peter. And they said, well, I'm giving you this, and they held a portion for themselves. And yes, the lying was horrible, but I looked at it a little bit deeper, and I said, wow, they still had the mindset of the owner. They still had the mindset of it's mine. You see, they weren't in unity with the rest of the church, where the rest of the church said, oh, you know, everything is yours, God. I'll take it here. I'll put it here. It doesn't matter. They said, no, it's mine. And they were separate from the church. And what did Peter say to them? He said, before you sold this, wasn't it yours already? Didn't that field already belong to you? And after you sold it, wasn't the money yours to do with as you please? You see, Peter was kind of mocking him a little bit. For any other person, if he asked that question, that church, they would have said, no, Peter, it's all God's. And Peter's saying to them, you see, you held ownership over it. You held ownership and then came and lied and tried to pass it off as being in unity with the church. But their actions were so separate because they had the mindset of the owner and not as the tenant. All things belong to God. All things belong to God and are His. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that we have, the shoes on your feet, the jeans, the shirt, whatever it is, every good and perfect thing comes from above. And God, how can I honor you with it today? How can I lift up your kingdom today? Why does the world, and I deal with this all the time when I'm talking to people, and they look at the church as so powerless? We need to change the temperature. We need to change the culture. This country is going an opposite way. We see all sorts of things happening in the news. We see terrorism spreading. And they turn and they say, your God is not real. But we have to say, no, I live my life. Look at my life. Look at my heart. And you will see that God is real. You will see that there is a God in heaven who is alive and active and moving today. Amen. You see, God has given so much. When I was thinking about this taking ownership over stuff, I was thinking about it like a power tool. Guys, you know what I'm talking about, like power tools. Girls, I don't know what you guys give each other, spoons, I don't know, plates, whatever it is you guys give to one another. But for me, it's a power tool. So for a power tool, you know when a guy takes a power tool, if you borrow somebody's stuff, you can't just leave it out in the rain. You can't just give it back all dirty. You can't keep it for a long time. You got to know that it's not yours, and you got to treat it like it's not yours. And how is anything in our lives, they have to be the same? You know, women, that you don't give that dish back dirty. You wash it, right? You make sure it's good before you give it back. But God is the same. I have to look at my life as that power tool. I have to look at every good thing I have in my life and say, God, I can't dirty this. I can't mess it up. I can't leave it in the rain. I can't act like it's mine and then give it back to you rusty, broken, and dirty. God, if anything, I'm going to tend to it. I'm going to make it better, and I'm going to give it unto you, God, and it's going to be better than when you gave it. Once we know that God owns the land, once we know that we rent the land, then we can know that we need to work the land. We need to work the land. Let's look at this verse again. Verse 42 to 44. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and be given to a people who will produce its fruit, like farmers. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. Jesus describes himself as two separate stones there. He describes himself as the cornerstone in verse 42, and then in 44, he says he is the stone that dashes people to pieces. When I thought about him being the stumbling block, Jesus was saying, I can either own the land, I can either have the land and be in possession of it, I can either inhabit the land and you can build upon the cornerstone, or you can be the one whom gets dashed to pieces because he is the stone that men fall upon and yet cannot break. For he is the stone that men try to hurl insults at and try to break and try to move and try to send to hell. Yet God raised from the dead and men have fell down at his feet that have tried to come before him. See, we can either come underneath God, build upon the land, or we can fall upon God and we can be dashed to pieces. We can either fight God or we can fight with God. We need to be ones who will produce its fruit, who are building on the cornerstone. And if you look at the church, it's no coincidence that we're building the church right now. Just watching the foundation go in and those big, humongous walls that locked together. And they went down and they dropped them down and they locked in and they made a secure foundation. And you look at that, you can't move them. And I was saying, wow, it doesn't matter what we build upon this. That will never fall. That will never knock down. There's nothing that we can do that'll move these walls, for they are solid. You see, God, Jesus Christ, when he owns the land, he can become the cornerstone. He can become the foundation. He can become the one that we build upon. I know a lot of you guys maybe have tried things in the past. You've tried to build. You've tried to move. You've tried to do something, and yet it hasn't gone exactly how you have planned. Well, I'll tell you, that was building on the sand. That was building in the past. Those things that you have done in the past, push forward. Go on, for it is the year of Jubilee. God owns the land now. So now you can build. Now you can move forward. It's hard to build upon a land that multiple people have a claim on. You guys ever watch Alaskan Bush People? It's good, right? Alaskan Bush People, I love it. They built this house in the middle of Alaska, in the middle of the wilderness, and they had spent so much time, they had done it with their bare hands. You know, it was a pretty good house, and they built it up, and they all left one day, and they went into the wilderness. I don't know, they're hunting bears or something, whatever people in Alaska do. They were out, and they were gone most of the day, and when they came back, the house was totaled. It was destroyed. You see, the government had came in and said, no, we have a claim on this land. You can't build on this land. And because the government had a claim on it, they were able to come and bulldoze it over. Because there was multiple people with a claim on that land. They said, you can't build here. And they had a right to tear it down. Well, hasn't it been the same in our past? You see, when Satan has a right over your land, anything you build, he has a right to tear down. So every time we've tried to establish godliness in our household, every time we've tried to teach our kids, every time we've tried to move and there was resistance, it is because Satan had a claim on the land. He had a right to tear down everything that you have tried to build, but no longer. This is why the year of Jubilee is so great. This is why this time in the church is such an amazing, awesome, marvelous time, because God is doing something new. He has cut all claims off your land. He has cut all the things in the past off. So when we used to say, God, I'm trying so hard, but I can't do it. The pain is too much. Oh, God, I'm trying to find you. I'm trying to read my word, but my past just keeps catching up with me. God, I keep falling into the same traps over and over. God, this sin is crouching at my door, and I'm not sure what to do. Praise God. It's the year of Jubilee. Praise God. All the old has been cut off, and it is a time where God has returned the land. So we have to say, it's harvest time. It's a new time. It's time when the vines and the fruit are being born, where all of a sudden things are coming out of the ground that you never thought would be there. Even the tree up in the branch, I look at that as it was blooming the other day, and I said, God, there's blooming in season and out of season. God, it is a time of harvest. It is a new time, and it is time to build upon this land. It is time to work this land. It is time to not accept the past, yet move forward. It is time to no longer sit back. Amen? You know, I was talking to somebody this week, and I was saying to him, what is God challenging you with? What is a new thing that God is calling you to? And as Pastor Janet was talking about, she had set an example of freedom, right? And we say, God, I want freedom. God, I want freedom for me. I want freedom for my job. I want freedom for all these different things, but they're always about me. But it is a different time. And she said that prayer should change. They shouldn't be, God, I need freedom for me. They say, God, I need freedom because I need to give back to you. God, I need freedom because there is an altar in front of the church that I need to dance on. God, I need freedom because my legs are locked up, my knees are seized, but I need them loosened, God, for there is a church that needs worship in the house. When we can start to move, when our prayers change, when we don't have owner-type prayers, but we have tenant-type prayers, we'll see the harvest come forth. It's a new time. What you build today will last for generations. Your children, I know that if you want to look at it in the physical, and I look at the church going up, and I say, Lord, I toiled for that church. I worked the ground for that church. God, I don't know what part of it's mine, but part of it, one of those cinder blocks is mine, God, for I worked the land, and I know what I did in that place will be for my children and my grandchildren, and they will grow up without the struggle that I had to go through as a first-generational Christian, constantly trying to break the past, constantly trying to cut off all of the hurt and the pain. I'm saying, no, God, the land that I toil today, what I build up today, what I don't accept from my past and continue to strive forward, that will last for generations to come. Kids will find shelter in what I work on today, what I do in my heart, even the intangible, the relationship that I build with God, the times of prayer, the times of tears, the times of worship, the times of being on my knees and saying, God, you have to deliver me. The times of saying, Lord, you have to deliver these youth group kids. God, you got to do something new and break through the old. The time I'm praying and I think about some of you guys and then saying, God, rescue them from where they're at. God, do something new. You see, every work that I do on this land will last for generations, and it'll cause effect. There's cause and effect. It'll make a difference in this church. It'll make a difference in this community. It'll make a difference, maybe even in this country, for generations to come. So we have to look, say, what am I holding on to? What ownership am I saying it's mine, God, not yours? What are those things that we separate God from? And I think in our heads, we like to think tangible. We like to think about money maybe or tithes like that, but I'm talking about even more than that. I'm saying that the land belongs to God, all of the land, your hearts, your families, your children, your hope, your joy, your freedom, your time. They all belong to God, for every good and perfect thing comes from above. For everything on the earth belongs to God. God owns all things, and we have to break that mindset of entitlement. I'd ask that you ask God, what am I holding on to? What do I still have ownership over? For everything that I hold on to, you cannot inhabit. For everything in my life that I grab white knuckle, I cannot build upon it, become sand. But you, Lord, to make you the owner of all things today, to make you the literal landlord, God. Oh, God, I can see the harvest coming. I can see the fruit rising up. I can see my family situation being turned around. I can see my kids being brought up in the Lord as never before. I can see my hurt and my pain melting away. That is the harvest that you call for us. My past is cut off, God. It's the year of Jubilee. I want to be a good tenant, God. I want to release my control right now over all those things. I want to break my mindset of entitlement. And God, I want to be a good tenant. I want to have the mindset of the renter. I want to know that every good and perfect thing comes from above. I want to know that it's not mine and I have no right to it. I want to know, God, that if you give it to me, it's just for a time, for you give and take away. And Lord, I will cherish these things, God. I will tend to these things. I will work the land that you have given me. I won't bury it in the sand and then give it back to you the same, all dirty and broken and rusted. No, God, I will do something new. I will work that. I will make it better, God. For when you call me home, I do not want to be one that says, Lord, I did nothing with what you gave me. But I want to be one that presents to you what you have given me. I want to be like that child that builds something great and that comes to the Father and says, look what I made you, Lord. Look what I did with you, what you gave me. You bought all the materials, God. You gave me all the materials, but look what I did with them, God. My life on this earth, it was not idle, but I worked and toiled the ground, for I knew that you owned all things, God. Praise you, Lord. So I pray you guys would go out knowing this is the year of Jubilee, knowing that all of the old has been cut off. No longer do our past hold us down, but we can build on the land. We can build on the land that God owns, for he is the chief cornerstone, amen? So go, build, do new things, do great things, and let's just worship God one more time. Hallelujah, Lord, amen. Be blessed, greet one another, and have a great week, guys. God bless you.